Hello, and welcome to a bonus Bachelor episode of Know That, a Real Housewives podcast. I'm Donnie Hatfield-Smith.
And I'm Quentin Lamar.
And we are joined by Emily O'Connor, a returning friend, our first returning friend of the pod, and co-founder of Viridian Coast Studios. Welcome back.
Thank you for bringing me back. I'm so excited to be here this week.
Of course.
Why did I forget just now that she'd been here before? I forgot that you were on the regular Know That. How did I forget that?
I should have checked the numbers first, see if it was if it was rated good before we asked you back. No, I think it was.
Oh, man. I hope so. I was Stammer City that first week. And then I remember, like, as soon as we cut, I had some good line about Lisa Barlow. I was like, why did I say that?
Well, we brought you back to, what's it called? Avenge yourself?
Yes.
I don't think Avenge would be, she would be avenging herself.
You can do that, can't you? Herself. Redeem. Redemption.
My road to redemption. Talking about this.
Yeah, it's like revenge if you do it yourself. It's avenge if you do it for somebody else.
I wish you all could see my face. It's not full of love. But Valentine's quickly approaching. Full of venom. Anyway, let's jump right in. We have a full episode today. A lot happened. So let's start with current events. So for those of you who don't know, we talked about it last week, so you can catch up. Or I'm sure that you'll fill it in with context clues based on what we're talking about. But Rachel, I forget her last name, the contestant from this season, she is a racist. Allegedly.
Racial.
Racial.
That's what you said last week.
There's TikToks of her doing all kinds of racist stuff, including but not limited to her going to a antebellum party when she was in college in 2018. Chris Harrison, known for his erotica books, was on Extra this week talking to former Bachelorette Rachel Lindsay. Rachel basically asked what he thought about racist Rachel, and he spent the whole time, all 13 minutes, defending her. Let's talk.
I think one of the most disgusting things about Rachel's behavior and the antebellum party, her silence on everything. But one of the most shocking and disgusting things set apart was that she was in college in 2018. That makes me sick. I think she hasn't spoke out about it, but her silence is like deafening. And he came out, it's funny how he didn't want to speak for her, but he like apologized for her. So I'm like, that's like, really?
Yeah, he kept saying.
You'd be better off saying like, no comment. Just saying, like, I have no comment because I don't know. She hasn't defended herself, so I can't say anything. But I do think that, you know, what she's been accused of is wrong. That would have been the end of it.
Yeah.
But him going into the woke police and showing that he's basically a Republican who was raised in Texas in the 70s, he didn't have to show his hand that way. It was stupid.
Yeah, disgusting. Why come on for a 13-minute interview to say nothing at all?
It was except to defend her.
Yeah.
Like, did we know that racism or slavery was wrong in 2018? I don't know. We're looking through a 2021 lens of the woke mob. Like, sit your racist old crusty ass down.
I should go back and listen to see how many times he said woke police, because I feel like he just kept saying that and it was just like gassing him up of like, it spiraled into this conversation that was, first of all, like, wrong, and secondly, like, when he said that, like, did we know that in 2018 that this was wrong, my jaw like hit the floor of like, we at this point have so much access to so much information that if by 2018 at 19 years old or 20 years old, you didn't know that was wrong and you're still riding the excuse of this is what I know, that excuse shouldn't even be an excuse, because right. You have no leg to stand on with that. Like, you should know because you have the access to know that it's wrong.
Yeah.
That blew my mind that he just kept saying over and over again that we're looking at everything through a different lens now. Like, we should have been looking at
who's we? Things.
Exactly. Who? Like, I don't know who you're, 50 million people apparently that well, attend. Yeah. Like, 50 million?
50 million attended antebellum parties in 2018. That's what he said, right?
What a stat. What a stat.
Well, 74 million voted for racist ass Trump. So what? Of course, 50 million people went to these. I'm not surprised by those numbers.
Well, no, I don't. I don't think 50 million people went to these parties in 1 year.
No, I don't think. I didn't know he said 50 million in 1 year. I do think there are 50 million people in this country who would be willing to go to one, though.
Well, that's different. Yeah.
It was very stupid. It was an apology without her being, without affirming that she was guilty. I was like, as he talked, I was like, clearly he didn't speak to a publicist, or he didn't think he needed to speak to a publicist. He just went on this white man rant against cancel culture. And, you know, he kept, I don't know, who's to say? You? Oh, well, she's black, so I would think that, yeah, she might have something to say about that.
Right.
It was like everything was either an apology or an excuse for Rachel, and then, or I don't know, who's to say? It was a waste of time. It was really a waste of time. But it just showed me that the entire, however, like, I don't even know how much is he involved in The Bachelor. Like, I know he's a host. Executive what else
producer
is he?
Now. So he...
He needs to be fired. He needs to be fired immediately.
With the show.
And he needs to be canceled. I want him to learn about the woke mob, because I want the woke mob to cancel this old white ass. That's what I want to happen.
Oh, I'm showing everyone I ever met the interview. That's why I wanted to talk about it in current events, because all of our listeners, if they didn't know about Chris Harrison on Extra with Rachel Lindsay before, they know now.
And I think he also kept, you know, he was clearly like defending her, but he also like made this comment that was like, you know, you don't know what it, like, because she was talking specifically about how quiet she's been and how she needs to address it.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, you don't know what it's like to be thrown into the public light like this. Again, you've had enough examples in pop culture and all of the social media apps that you've been on before you were famous to know sort of that that's what you do when there is, you address when something, you're called out on something, you address it. Because if you sit there and you let it fester and you don't address it, it just continues to escalate and continues. Right. And rightfully as it should, this is insane. Like, it needs to be addressed. But he was making these excuses that, like, you know, she doesn't know how to handle this. Well, then she needs to talk to the publicist that's probably hit her up from day one, that's getting her all of these endorsement deals, I'm sure, down the line with brands. Because that's what all of these, you know, Bachelor people end up doing, is they end up getting publicists right away and they start partnering with Fabletics or with Boohoo or whatever. I'm sure she has someone that can help her.
Yeah.
And that's what you signed up for. You signed up for this. Like, you voluntarily went on this show. So figure it out and get a statement written, call somebody if that's what you have to do, or actually, you know, do it yourself. Like, it just, I don't get the quiet thing. Like, you need to address it.
Yeah. And this is, he said, you don't know what it's like being thrown to the wolves or whatever. You're speaking to the first Black bachelorette. She knows. I'm sure she knows what it's like with the mob saying things to her on social media.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
She's been very public about that. And she's been very, you know, her podcast about the show does not mince words. And she's very critical of the franchise as well. Like, as despite that she was involved in it and despite that she, you know, has continued to be a part of the show, she is very critical and very open. So I am curious this week if she addresses it on the Bachelor podcast that she has and see what she has to say about it.
Yeah. Well, I'm interested.
I kind of thought that maybe there was something to what he was saying, because I was shocked to hear a white man with the balls to talk like that on national television. I thought, you don't even, like, I mean, we see what happens in the Senate and everything. I'm like, but you don't even, I mean, you realize that you're in the media, right? Like, you can't, you need to talk about, this is at home racism you need to keep in your house. Like, you can't, you know, like, you're using, the country is too, we're too far down this line. This whole thing, you know, like, this who's to say bullshit and this like back and forth of you know, taking stuff out. No, we already know you're using the dog whistle words. We already know who you voted for. We already know who you are. This is done. Like, it's done. You can say that it's bad for people to be making assumptions online or doing whatever. Well, maybe you should go back to 2016 and say that shit, because nobody's listened to that now. It's done. There is no mediation or no, we're done. You just basically said you're a racist. You're not going to hold her accountable for it. And now we have no choice but to come after you about it. Done.
Emily, what is your history with The Bachelor?
When I was like younger, early teen years, my mom would watch the show only on like hometowns. So she would skip everything up until week four because it just wasn't like, she's like, I don't have time for that. Like, I just want to get to like this part and I'll pay attention. And so I would occasionally like drop in like other seasons, like at that point, but I never got like the full context of the whole season or whatnot. When I started watching in full was Ari season, what was that, 3 years ago? And that was wild because he dumped her on camera when she thought he was, that was Becca K, who was the bachelorette after. They like were, they have to hide in secret for a few months. And so she was having him come over for like a visit and they were doing like stock footage for the reunion special or whatnot. And he actually came over to break up with her and go back with the other woman that he eliminated. And she was like totally blindsided. And then she became the bachelorette and so on. So I've covered seasons that way. I've watched from then till now, as well as Bachelor in Paradise, which I think is on its fifth season. Mm-hmm. And they're bringing that back this year. And I've dropped into like Winter Games every now and then.
Oh, I wanted to ask really quick. This is part of current events, but we'll leap back to it really quick. Do people have a choice to not come to Women Tell All?
So I think so. There's also a chance they won't be invited. So a couple seasons, they have not brought people back. They don't explain why. But they're usually all invited because they all get like their chance in the hot seat and everybody just like comes at each other on stage and just airs out their.
Okay. Because Chris mentioned that. He said like, we'll have a time to talk with her, but she didn't come to the Women Tell All. So I didn't know what that meant.
So that can also mean that she's in the final, because if you're in the top three, you don't go to Women Tell All because that's normally the same week as Fantasy Suites.
Mm.
So sometimes the top three, so they don't know who's been eliminated, don't go. And then they come back because they have that, and then they have the After the Rose special, which is after the proposal.
Okay.
You get that.
So he might have spilled some tea by accident, maybe.
Right.
All right. So what are your thoughts on Matt James?
I feel like everyone's given a deep sigh when they are asked that question. I always have to keep in mind that he really has not done this before. Like the last few seasons, we've had very experienced people in this position. So they know what they're doing with like the cameras, and they know like the words to say, and they know how the process works. I truly feel like he has no idea what he's doing. I don't think he knows even like where he is. I think that he's kind of like, I got here because I'm friends with someone. Like I was like a loose connection to the franchise. And he was already, he was cast in The Bachelorette originally.
Mm.
So he was already going to be on Claire's season before. And then when COVID happened, everything just kind of, you know, changed things. And then they made him The Bachelorette, or not The Bachelorette, The Bachelor. Whoa. I feel for him. Like every week I'm just like, come on, like, are we going to get to know you? I feel like we don't know who he is. Like, I feel like we're just kind of like, maybe that's because there's so much drama in the season that's kind of overshadowing the dates and overshadowing him as a person. But I just don't feel like I really know him yet, which is crazy to say as we're going into what, the sixth week or seventh week of this.
Seventh week now. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's him or I don't know what the issue is, but the dates are my least favorite part.
Yeah, it's like the thing I have to also remember too is like normally we're like each week they're going to like some crazy place, unless you're in Pete's season, then they just go to Cleveland one weekend. that was a shock to the women because they all thought that it was like, oh, we're going to go to like Bora Bora or something like they always do. And they're like, we're going to Cleveland. But yeah, I think he, with like the limited like things that they can do, I just feel like it's hard because they're just like they're in the same place. We're not like focusing on like where they are. We're focusing on what they're doing. And yeah, they are kind of boring.
So that's why they just, since they can't go anywhere, they just keep adding more girls.
I don't understand. That is like the producer meddling has just gotten to be so like, my eyes are going to get like bruised because I'm rolling them so much, because it's just so much meddling to the point where it's like so obvious. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, it's just, this is crazy. Like, they didn't used to do this. Just like drop five more people off and be like, have a good time. Like, that just isn't how they, at least I've seen how they've done it. That's like a paradise move.
Yeah. I do hope there's a twist. There's been rumors that Katie will be the next Bachelorette. And if this is the case, I'm really hoping that somebody like MJ or Victoria will just come in halfway through and say to like the men, whoever leaves with me now, I'll suck your dick. And then just say,
I mean, at this point, I feel like we can't rule that out. Like, I feel like they're going to, I mean, we had two bachelorettes in one season. We had five new men last season join in. And then now we've got Heather rolling up in a minivan on like, what?
Oh, we'll get to Heather.
We'll get to that. But yeah, I don't think anything can shock me anymore. And they keep, you know, teasing it as the most dramatic season ever. Every season. I think that's, you know, a bold statement to make.
So who are you rooting for?
Let me go to my little post-it. There's a lot of names still to keep up with.
Oh, there's still people I don't know.
There's so many girls there. Like, even this one girl coming extra was like, oh my God, I can't even keep it. Thank God she's like so damn white, or I would never be able to tell her apart from the other girls.
Yeah, there's just, I feel like they had, what was it, 36 women in total? Am I making that up?
No, I think that's right.
I think it was like 32? I'm
even trying to rack my brain of who was sent home.
32 in the beginning, and then they added five. And now they added Heather.
So that's 38. You having this guy talk to 38 women? Too much. It's too many. And then so I have my little note card.
Yeah.
My note card. I have Bree, Piper, and Abigail that I'm like, okay, I think you guys are, you know, solid. And Michelle. Okay. But I do think Michelle's a little intense. Like, Michelle showed up and had the one-on-one first, which of course they were going to do that because they want to, like, rattle the ones that have been there. We're like, we're going to give it to one of the new girls. But she was like, I felt like if he had proposed to her in that hot air balloon, she would have said yes. She was ready to go. So I do like her, though. I think she's going to go far. But those would be my top four. Would be Bree, Piper, Abigail, and Michelle.
I like Piper a lot.
I think that's the same for me.
Oh, wow.
I mean, as far as the tops, I think I don't really like Michelle. I think that she's definitely a contender, and I think that he likes her. You know, it's funny because before all this stuff happened with Rachel, I liked Rachel.
Same.
And I thought that he really liked Rachel too. And I was like, I could see that happening. But now I just, of course, we've already talked about why that's like, I can't even entertain that anymore. But I think that Piper, I don't like Katie. Because I don't want her to be I don't want her to find love. Or I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. I'm not going to. Getting back to who I like. I like Piper. I like Bree too. And I like Serena C.
Love Serena C.
Serena C. The flight attendant Serena C.
With the vocal fry.
Who got in the fight with?
Katie.
You like Serena C?
I wanted her to be the Bachelorette. Serena C.
Like, I loved her arguing with Katie when she was... She's like, you're basically saying the same thing, so I'm done. I'm like, okay.
Nice.
I love it.
I'm just surprised she's still there.
So it's like her, Piper, and...
Have they talked at all? I don't think we've even had, like, a little, like, bench chat. And I'm like, I was watching, I was like, I'm shocked she's still here. I don't think she's ever, like, said hey.
Well, she'd be there if I was the bachelor.
I think that, and I'm just going to say it, I think that there are some girls that are there because of...
Diversity.
To make it look like Matt is going to be a bit more diverse in his pickings. But I don't think that's the case. I think that it's clear that he is open to another biracial Black girl or a white girl. I do not think he's into Latinas, and I don't think he's going to be into the Asian girls. I don't think that's going to happen. That's not who he's giving roses to for one-on-one time. It's just, that to me is pretty clear.
Yeah.
Like Miss Puerto Rico came and went. I mean, what?
Like she's stunning.
Like he literally like sent off a beauty queen without spending any time with her one on one. Like done.
I was so surprised Ryan went home too. Like I thought he was kind of into Ryan, especially given like the Victoria, like she was part of the reason Victoria left.
Right.
And then the next week she was gone and she was like, that confessional was intense while we were watching the rose ceremony, like the overlay of just like her tears.
Yeah.
I felt really bad for her.
Yeah.
So I think that we'll probably see that. And as much as I like Serena C, I think she'll probably be gone in the next episode.
Yeah. Cece. So this episode starts exactly where we left off with it, which is Jesenia and MJ arguing. So then he speaks to each woman individually. And then we get a lot of confessionals with MJ saying, like, I'm a bad bitch. Is she a bad bitch?
No. I'm like, who told you that? Like, who told you that?
I thought
there's no consensus on you being a bad. You got curly hair. You got a lot of curly blonde hair. It takes more to be a bad bitch than having curly hair. I don't know who told her that. But what, as New York said, somebody lied to you several times in the past about what your status is. Because Jesenia was the bad bitch in that situation.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I love Jesenia. I hope she goes to paradise. I think she'd be great on Paradise. I already am like, I do have my list of like who I would not want to see and who I would, but I hope Jesenia is one of them because she just doesn't mess around. And I loved, I mean, they do this every time they do a 2-on-1. They like do the dramatic, like they're in the same car. Their suitcases are out front. They have them walk up. And I always like voice like a joke as like a producer. I'm like, now ladies, get out of the car and walk sternly to the front door at the same pace. I wonder how many takes that they had to do of that. But yeah, I truly did not get the like MJ's like breakdown to like all of a sudden I flip my hair and I'm like, I'm a bad bitch.
Yeah.
Awful. I had a weak bitch moment. Now I'm a bad bitch. Like, now you're just a like, crazy bitch. What are you talking about? Like, not, what is this?
I didn't get it.
I didn't know what I was watching. So I'm happy that she got handled. I didn't have anything against MJ, honestly. Like she was pretty innocuous to me. You know, she's an attractive girl. She seemed whatever. I personally don't blame any of them for clicking up against the new girls. That's the problem the production created. I'll be damned if I'm going to blame any of those women for that. If I was in that situation, I'd be mad every time I looked and there was a new man walking through the door too. So I don't blame them for that. I don't care if they would have kept teasing them or whatever. As long as they're not hazing, get over it. You're on TV. So I don't blame her for that. But I did like seeing that side of Jesenia, and I like seeing Serena arguing with Katie. Like, I like seeing these girls of color giving it back to these white girls. Love seeing that.
Let's just get to it now, and then we'll jump back in chronological order. So let's talk about Serena and Katie's.
I didn't see that coming. Like, I didn't see that. Like, I was like, where is she coming from with this?
You've
like,
been looking at what happened.
But, like, of all the people, I was, like, I was shocked that she would be the one to be, like, I need to talk to you. Like, I of all of them. Like, I feel like she just hasn't said anything.
That's what you think. Hanging out. My girl's been sticking with me from the beginning. And when Katie said, I thought you were going to apologize, and then Serena said, for what? Was so good. I cackled.
I think she's going to go to paradise too.
Katie was involved in a lot of drama, and I'm glad somebody pointed that out, because you ran and told Matt you had a problem with the way people were being treated. You still were like she said, inserting herself into all this drama. So, hey, I mean,
but they're scooping these white girls totally on Serena's side. And
they are getting them together.
And if Serena and Jesenia do go to Bachelor in Paradise, I'll watch, because this episode, I think, watching how boring the dates were, I was like, I don't think I'm a Bachelor person. And then watching that Chris Harrison interview, I said, I never want to watch The Bachelor again. But if those two are on Bachelor in Paradise, I might just stream it illegally.
Paradise is just it's just messy. If you want to talk about a revolving door, that is like, they will drop somebody on the beach and you'll be in a relationship with someone for 4 weeks. And the second somebody walks into that, you know, villa, it's over in 10 minutes. Like, it is just, and it is a spiral that you watch and you're just like,
what's the point of it?
It's like is middle there a school, winner? Man.
Well, yeah, at the end, you're supposed to like link up with someone in the villa like early on for a few weeks. It's supposed to end in a proposal, but they're there for only 2 weeks or something crazy, or 17 days they're there. And by the end of it, you're supposed to like, the relationships that stand are supposed to end in a engagement, but they are keep messing with them and dropping randos onto the beach to like see if they're curious or not. And then they like, each rose ceremony, they pick someone to link up with for the week. It's kind of like Love Island-y. If you've ever watched Love Island, just a little like,
yeah,
it's like ABC has its hands on it, so it's a little less raunchy. But even though the US version of Love Island is pretty tame, but it's if they go to Paradise, I think it would be interesting, and I wouldn't be surprised, because they usually send two people that don't get along at least.
Oh, okay.
If not like a yeah, they usually try and get like people that also like last season the arc was that people that were hanging out outside of the villa beforehand. That was the drama of the season, was you slept with me at Stagecoach and you're dating somebody else. Like that was the whole Stagecoach in the middle of the desert in California got so much press from that show. I didn't even know Stagecoach was a thing. But thanks to Bachelor in Paradise, yeehaw!
That's how I feel about Nima Colin.
Nima Colin, good lord. I'm a pencil. People are like, because I'm from Pennsylvania, they're like, have you ever been to Nima Colin? I was like, please. Have I ever been to Nima Colin?
But you have?
No! Oh. It's like $800 to like walk up the, like, to the front door. Like, it's so.
I haven't been because it's near Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah.
That's not my side of PA.
It is the other side, but it's also like to blink there is you'll get a room charge. It's just, it's expensive.
Now, if that was near like, you know, Lancaster, maybe I'd dabble.
We could sneak off to Dutch Wonderland, Rochelle Outlets.
Yeah, that's our
Morgenthau,
our Shady Bagel. One.
I'm from Michigan, so I'm getting none of this. Yeah, anybody sorry. Listening, I don't understand this shit either.
One of the Shady Maple board.
It looks like a pretty, I don't know, normal place. I mean, nothing special about it. But I'm tired of looking at it. I'll tell you that much. Like, I'm tired of seeing the inside of that lobby. I'm tired of them all like sitting in a circle, shocked at who's coming in. I'm actually ready for them to bring this baby home. I'm enjoying the contention between them and everything. But I'm like, let's wrap this season up. Let's see who he's gonna pick. I'm so bored with looking at Matt.
You just, still have seven episodes, Quinn.
I am already like, what are we? The stakes got to get higher. I don't know what, but Matt is just so, he's so boring to watch for me. It's a chore.
Yeah,
it's a chore.
I kind of hope that some of them like lesbian up together instead. I'd be happier with that.
I wonder who would.
Serena C.
MJ.
And MJ. Yeah. Ding, ding, ding. Anyway.
And that would be a plot twist. That would be the most dramatic season ever.
That would be good.
I think.
I could see Katie doing it, but thank God I don't have to see Katie do anything.
Back to the end of this 2-on-1. He gives the rose to Jesenia. MJ goes home. Perfect. So then Chris enters and tells the women there won't be a cocktail party because Matt is so distressed and he knows what to do. So they go straight into the rose ceremony. And then this is when Serena comes to Katie and says, like, this isn't happening because of you. So they have that fight that we talked about later. Then we get to the rose ceremony where Maggie and Ryan go home. Loved Maggie and the escort, but I forget her name. So clearly Brittany. I didn't love her too much. Who's that?
Brittany. Well,
oh, so wait, yeah. Let's think about, I want to picture, since it was said, Matt being distraught. Like I picture that as like, you know, when you like watch a Sesame Street or something and like the Muppets have to deal with something really like important, they kind of like hunch a little bit and like look at nothing. Like that's how I imagine Matt being distraught. Like
definitely rubbing his hand.
He's so devoid of a lot of emotions that it's so, I can't imagine him that level of upset over having to send MJ home. I'm like, you didn't even have a 1-on-1 with her. What do you care?
Right.
Like you flirted with her for 5 minutes at a farm and then went and kissed Piper. What do you care that she's gone?
Like, 5 minutes I didn't understand. At a farm.
Well, he was. He was distraught. And it gave Chris Harrison something else to do that episode, because normally he just comes out and says, final rose. So I like that he got a little monologue. His working for ass. His money.
Yeah, so I didn't like saying goodbye to Maggie, but Maggie's too good for him.
Agreed.
I didn't really have an opinion about Brittany. I didn't care if she was an escort or not. She didn't really make much of an impression besides that. Yeah. He didn't care. So it's like for you to you send somebody home because of that, and then they're just gone, like you said. So it's like I don't get it. Like at this point, I don't get it. Seems very production-y to me how these women are going, like, or why they're there. Because I don't understand. Like, you literally, there were women who you knew better that you got rid of to keep Brittany. Mm-hmm. And now Brittany's only been there for two episodes? And I don't, it's all very strange to me.
I think some of it's real. I think however many rows he gets, he probably really only gets 75% of those. And then the other ones, I think production says no, you're keeping these people.
I love when the former contestants are off of their NDAs because they get to spill all of how they determine who stays and who goes.
Oh.
And the rumor is that what they do as this process continues to go on, which technically they're supposed to call it a journey, not a process, but that's, contract lingo that they're not clearly following anymore because they all say the process. But they do guide him in trying to weed people out that he is having connections with if there's somebody else that is stronger, so he's not too confused at the end, so he can cut people off that like they'll keep people around that he hasn't really talked to just so it's easier for them to get rid of later. So
oh my god,
hard. So he can kind of cut these other relationships that are forming so that at when it's the top six, it's not six people that he really is torn between. That's a rumor. I don't know if that's true, but I wouldn't be surprised because some people I'm sitting here he hasn't talked to them once.
And yeah.
Still here. It's just so strange how they do it.
Abigail, he hasn't talked to since that first episode.
And why? Why? She's so great. Why hasn't she gotten the one-on-one?
Because Katie got two of them.
I don't think so.
Okay, shut me up. I'll edit.
Because that's what Serena said. Serena said, when she argued with, you're here barely. You haven't done
anything. Oh, that's true. Anything.
All right, the time she had with him was when she was tattling.
Yeah, usually they don't get a second one-on-one until I think, all the one-on-oners have gone through. And then that's when the claws really come out, when someone gets a second one. But did she get a second first? No. She only got one.
Right? All right. Sorry about that. Well, I still don't like her. And Abigail should have a one-on-one. So then,
the point of the argument.
In my notes, I say, Heather arrives. Who the fuck is this?
Oh, that's what I have on my card, too, actually. Let's break it down. Familiar are we?
I've never met her, but I've never seen anybody on television that I wanted off of my television faster than that woman and her bad acting getting out of that car.
Oh, yeah. That whole scene with her and Chris Harrison at the car was bad acting all around. And then when it would ever cut to her in her room during quarantine, that it was the most, I hated it.
She was not in that room that amount of time. She literally, that was all filmed in one day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She was not, we've been through quarantine. We know what quarantine boredom looks like. That's not what that was. Don't lie to me.
She should have been irritable. It was obvious too, that he was clearly an actor. Right. He's because what if he said you can't come in here? And then she's why do you need to speak to Chris Harris? He's okay.
Let me call somebody.
No.
Because we're quarantined. Well, I need to come in here. Well, that changes everything. Hold on. I'll call somebody.
Yeah, the acting all around was they won a contest. In the 90s when you could, win a walk-on role from a box of cereal? That's what this was like. All three of them were acting like that. None of them had ever acted before.
Chris was we're quarantined in here. And she's I don't think that's going to stop me. What is that? What does that mean? you can tell her no. I'm even though I'm pretty sure Chris thinks that it's a hoax. Who's to say if it's really
Who's to say?
So, Emily, tell us about Heather.
Heather my first introduction, as with the rest of the world of Bachelor Nation, was on Colton's season, where she showed up and her tagline, like, you know, they say at the bottom, their occupation, of like, you know, flight attendant, as I remember, that stuck with me for Serena. I don't know why. But hers was never been kissed. So
that's her.
She claims that she has never been kissed up until Colton gave her her first kiss on her 101. And then she subsequently eliminated herself after that of being like, I can't bring you home to my family. Like, I'm not ready for this. And so she self-eliminated. And then she was friends with former bachelorette Hannah Brown, who had a thing with Matt's friend, Tyler C, who we met in this episode as well. And I guess that was Hannah apparently said, oh, why don't you just go show up? Which I don't even know if that happened. Like, it was strange that she's like, yeah, I'm just going to, I thought in the trailer that they had had a history or something.
Right.
As they've been teasing this of like, oh, they hooked up once during their, you know,
yeah,
multiple bachelor hangouts or whatever. But clearly it's like, you don't even know each other. Like, that was just weird. It's just strange.
Yeah. I hate her. And I don't think she was never kissed before that season. Anyway. So then Piper gets picked for the one-on-one and they go to a carnival. Now, I have just been watching the reboot of of Goosebumps, which is also a carnival. So I got confused what I was watching for a second. So when she flipped that switch and the carnival was there, I got scared. But I know that's just a me problem and nobody else can relate. So then they go to dinner where she tells him she has trouble opening up. And then they go to a private country music concert, which also in my notes, I said, what the fuck is this?
It's another obscure country band brought to you by Bachelor ABC that like probably
country music, of course,
or something. It's the only people that they can get to perform on their show. And then those people end up being problematic, too. The one they had two seasons ago was like, I'm going to have a maskless COVID concert in the middle of July. So, yeah.
My favorite part of that band was that, I don't know, not the lead singer who just decided to start the song off for no reason. And then the real singer started just saying, I'm like, what was that?
It was weird. I always get uncomfortable on those dates, too, because if I was ever on a date where like a band was just singing to me and my significant, I would want to leave. Like, I would just be like, this is just not.
What if it was reversed? What if you were the band singing to people, making out?
I don't think I'd look at them. I think I would just look straight out and just be like, oh yeah, they're in the corner watching me alone on this dance floor. But I think I would just be giggly and weird as I am. And I think I just wouldn't know, like, it would just be so strange. They had, who was it one year they had the guy that sang wherever you go, right here waiting, Richard Marx. They had him on there. I was like, why are you here? Like, there's other things you can do besides this awkward slow dancing weirdness that looks weird. Like middle school. I don't know. I'm just not into that.
No.
Gentlemen, take notes. Don't hire this Temecula band to play for me. Another name, Temecula Road?
I think so. I didn't write it down because I will not be looking for them on Spotify. Do either of you have anything else to say about Piper's carnival?
I thought it was sweet. I like Piper.
Oh, I love Piper.
I do too.
He likes Piper too. That's the first one that I was like, oh, like he actually does have a connection to someone here.
Yeah.
He does know kind of what's going on is when he's with her. Like, I can see that he's aware of how things work.
Yeah, I thought it was a good date. Like, I think it was the best date that I've seen them go on since this season that I've seen, like, that I'd actually be like, oh, that would be kind of cool to do. And I like she picked like the little weird little monster thing. I was like, that's kind of cute. Like, I think it's like kind of her personality. The only thing wrong with the date, as always, was Matt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's really the only thing that's wrong with a lot of these things. I like now they've started to like film a little different with the kisses. So now you can't see that his eyes are open. So they're like, you see the back of the girl's head. I was like, that's a good idea.
Yeah. So then they go on the group date and they go bowling. So the winning team goes to a romantic cocktail party. And that is Chelsea, Michelle, some other one. I think Brie maybe. And then Serena, V or P. I don't know what her last initial is, but it's not C.
I think it's P.
P. Okay, great. Episode 6, we're still learning names. And then in this date, Michelle is the one that gets the rose.
She does.
Do you have? I have no takeaway from this group date.
I'm confused what he's doing with Chelsea. Like, I feel like he really likes Chelsea, and then, like, he leads, like, he kind of, like, hypes her up as, like,
every week
somewhere. Yeah, and then, like, he's like, oh, Chelsea, like, you know, talking about how great their date was with the rose. And that's something I also hate, that he, like, holds the rose and, like, is given the rundown, and it's like, but I'm going to give it to so-and-so.
Oh, yeah. I would know if he said my name, I'm not even in the running. Because he always gives it, he pulls it out of his ass to give it to somebody.
Yeah, a weird, I was surprised that he gave it to Michelle, because I'm like, okay, this is finally the week that Chelsea's going to, like, you know, either get the one-on-one or, like, get a group date rose or something, because he just keeps saying these really bold statements about how he feels about her. And then he just is like, I'm going to go give it to somebody else. I think Michelle already won a group date rose too. Like, Michelle's on fire.
Yeah.
She's got a high track record here.
I don't know, man. That's what Joe Biden would say if he was on our podcast.
Come on, man.
So this is the day I was most excited to talk about tonight. Katie and Matt go on a one-on-one, and she should have known she was getting the boot when he takes her to a spa, and instead of, like, a sauna or instead of a romantic massage, he says, we're going to prank Tyler. If someone brought me to a spa and I was there to prank someone, I would rip up the rose myself. Date is over.
That was a weird one.
It was such a weird prank. That's not even, I don't get the point of that. Like, that's not, I thought something else was going to happen in that massage room that would make it worthwhile. But
with who?
With anybody, with the person that they had hired. I thought it was like, oh, we really got this hooker. Like, I don't know. Like, what? It was just where she get really rough with him. And if she doesn't get rough with him, she gives him a decent massage.
Yeah. It was very strange.
It was just dumb.
It was the most energy, though, that we've seen. It was like when Tyler C. arrived, I think that was the most personality and energy we have seen from Matt. The entire season. Like, he just seemed like a, like, carefree, relaxed guy.
Yeah.
And then was like super playful and super energized. Like, he was giving me like, oh, you're the Bachelor vibes. And it took Tyler C coming to play pool to get that to happen. I was like, okay.
He hugged him like he got back from war. It was momentum. Like, wow.
I don't know. It was a weird date. And I could tell that she was, I'm like, she's not gonna, like, there's nothing romantic about this. Like, she's not sent home. Like,
yeah,
she's got friend zoned in the massage parlor.
I didn't know that you get sent home right away if he doesn't give you the rose on the date. I thought like it means you're still in the running and you go to the thing.
You have to have your suitcase ready.
No. Yeah,
the van is outside. The cameras are in the van, and the whole time you're just like sweating over your steak that you're not allowed to eat. They're never allowed to eat the food, and they're never really allowed to drink most of the drink.
What?
That was filled from someone's NDA. But yeah, the food has to sit there. They just let the food go.
Oh,
isn't
no.
that awful?
I have no idea.
Like, imagine if you have a nice flounder from Nemacol and sitting on your plate, and you have to just look at it and let this man dump you and send Nemacol you to a van.
That's why I would be pissed, too. They're all pissed for good reason.
I would be too. Like 14-hour days too.
But because I wasn't expecting her to go home, I didn't expect her to get the rose. But again, I didn't know that if she didn't get the rose, she was going home right now. So when he said, you've been honest with me this entire time, so I have to be honest with you, and I'll walk you to the car, I laughed out loud at this part too. This was a high comedy episode. All at Katie's expense. Our next bachelorette.
I was kind of like rooting for her. I kind of liked her. I didn't like dislike her.
No, she's a tattletale. I liked her in the beginning. When she brought the dildo in the beginning, I liked her. Then she tattled too much.
I see your point. I think I was just like, but she did say that. Here's the thing. What I think sold her as the bachelorette was when she was in the van and she wasn't crying. She was like, I'm going to find a man that knows my worth or loves me for who I am. That is the almost exact line Hannah Brown said when she got dumped by Colton on the same date. And then she got sent in the van. So she must know that that's a good line to use because now she's in the running. And I was, even I said, well, I was sitting on the couch watching this alone with my kettle corn. As soon as she was done talking, I'm like, she's a front runner. She's a front runner. That car is driving into the mist. And that executive producer is texting her right now, being like, so what's your availability for March?
What's going on? So now the next bachelorette is a damn whistleblower. Great.
our North Country Bachelorette. I hate that movie. Anyway, what are our final thoughts?
I hate Katie. I'm glad she's gone. Matt's still boring, but I'll stick it out to see more of the ones that I do like. Big ups to Serena C.
Love Serena C. Emily, final thought?
I'm excited as we're getting down to like the top 10, who's going to make it to hometowns, who's going to make it to, you know, fantasy suites. You guys are going to experience this for the first time, like this like progression of like when it starts to become, you know, it's a big resort for like six people. I feel like I just am hoping he comes out of his shell a little more, because like these women also like need to know these things because they're about to marry this guy. So like, I feel like if I don't know as the viewer anything, I wonder if they know anything, because I don't feel like they're, I feel like all of their conversations are very one-sided where he's like just getting everything out from them. Uh-huh. And I'm hoping that in these next few episodes, we actually start to get to know who he is rather than like, you know, I feel like I know so much about these women, but I don't even know about the guy that is the.
Except their names. I don't know that.
No. The names I'm still, yes. Because they just keep adding them and it's so many people. But I hope that the revolving door is over. I'm sure, I don't think Heather's going to get a rose. I'm going to make
I would hope not.
I think that's just silly. But I'm going to stick it out too, Quinn. As I always do.
Right. Yeah, I'm sticking it out. My final thought is, it just makes me want to rewatch Unreal on Lifetime.
I need to start that. Maybe
an Unreal plug, party. Yay.
Oh, yeah. What'd you say?
We should do
I love watch the Unreal party. Plug.
I'm down for a watch party, Emily.
I do want to be Constance Zimmer. Like, if there is a woman that I aspire to be, ever since I watched Entourage and I was like crying over an episode where she was just so badass, and I was like, that's the energy I need.
Oh, she's great in this too. She's like a demon woman, but she's incredible.
I just think she's fabulous.
So that's it, Emily. It's been an hour already.
Wow.
I know, it flies by.
It does fly by. This was, I mean, I feel like this is a wild, you know, second appearance. I'm honored to have been here twice and that you've listened to me ramble and stammer and not know up from down.
No, it's always a good time. Minutes. Do you have anything in your notes that you want to say? I know last appearance.
Let me read you what my notes were. My notes were as follows. Rachel Stamps, Jasenia vs. MJ, Serena C vs. Katie, WTF. Tyler C? Question mark. Piper. What does that say? Cute date. WTH Chelsea with an arrow that says Michelle date Rose. Katie goes home. Frown. Heather. And then who I like.
Okay. So I think we covered all that.
I think we covered it all in my terrible notes.
All right, Emily, so let everyone know where they can find you.
You can find me on Instagram at m.o'connor, no apostrophe, C-O-N-N-O-R, or at Viridian Coast Studios. Pretty active on those pages. Would love to see you.
Perfect. Thank you again for coming.
I think this will be my finale on No.
I don't think so.
Oh, maybe.
I understand.
Oh, God.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Of course. Thanks for coming.
Friend of the pod and friend of our lives.
Friend of the pod and friend of your life. Yes.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to support the show, be sure to visit buymeacoffee.com/knowthatpod. If you want to join in on discussions about the episodes as they air in real time or see what snarky things we have to say about the shows we love, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at knowthatpod. You can follow me, Donnie, at realdonniewood on Twitter and Instagram.
And you can follow me, Quentin, at Quentin Lamar on Twitter.
Continue to listen and subscribe for free to Know That, a Real Housewives podcast, on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows. Bye.
Bye-bye.